Yeah, I guess it enables us to understand those artificial atmospheres.
Yeah, because it's so trivial, Mark's point. You know, like it misses. Okay, so McLuhan was a closet Catholic. Yeah, McLuhan was a closet Catholic who said everybody was stupid and guilty and sinful, and they should go to church. McLuhan was, his whole thing was to explain why that wasn't the case anymore. That's the that you had to come at sin in a different way. He actually had an insight in what sin was.
Yeah, that would be really nice to do, actually. It'd be pretty heavy.
I know. Did you know that there's one or two places where he says it? He's talking about how human Westerners don't. It's an invasion of privacy for the Westerner to know the hidden ground of things, or to know that their private identity is built on the printing press. That's an invasion. And then he has in brackets something, ignorance, is this sin? This sin is a refusal to look at what's going on, not about what your behavior is.
Yeah, I also remember, and I never had the time to fully follow it up, although I did a little bit on it, was McLuhan made quite a big deal about that guy Stanley Fish, his book Surprised by Sin, The Reader in Paradise Lost.
Surprise what?
Surprise, I've never heard of it. Surprised by Sin, The Reader in Paradise Lost. It's in 1971 by Stanley Fish. And so I don't know whether McLuhan knew him, but he definitely corresponded with Stanley Fish.
Okay, so there's some interesting quotes in that by McLuhan?
Yeah.
Well, do you have them?
Milton's method is to recreate in the mind of the reader the drama of the fall, to make him fall again exactly as Adam did, and with Adam's troubled clarity.
Hold it. That thing you just read, in 1983 when Nelson Thal met me, I didn't know, but he was testing me. He says, what does Marshall mean by the medium is the message? And I went into the incarnation, and exactly what you just fucking said. He was so flabbergasted, he had never heard anybody say that he became a dupe of Bob from that point on. and that's when I left Toronto. But that's that's right up my alley. That's incredible, that quote. Do it again.
So Milton's method is to recreate in the mind of the reader the drama of the fall, to make him fall again exactly as Adam did, and with Adam's troubled clarity. That is to say, not deceived.
With Adam's troubled clarity.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what the chart's supposed to be about. The stages of apprehension. Recreate the drama that we go through collectively in the Android meme. Wow. Any other sentences from that review?
Yeah, we can go through. And so I've got some notes about there's definitely, I think McLuhan saw some similarity at the level of, for want of a better word, method between himself and Stanley Fish. Because Stanley's talking about Finnegan's Wake and how we are questioning our reading experience. So Fish seems to be taking on this whole notion of how readers encounter Milton's book and reflecting on how Milton's knowledge of the reading process and presumably his manipulation of that process to transform his reader.
Listen to this. I met Stanley Fish back in 2000 and, 2005 or 4, he gave a lecture at a bookstore owned by the daughter of Thomas Watson, the inventor of IBM. And this guy was, to me, one of these semiotics kind of guys. Those crummy academics of the 80s, hyper intellectual, hyper abstract, hyper visual bias. And I think about him occasionally. So here it is. They have pictures of him, so I recognize him. Stanley Fish, born April 19, 1938. So he's William Irwin Thompson's age, so he's only 72. So I saw him. He was about 62. Okay. He's an American literary theorist and legal scholar.
So, okay, so Paradise Lost is a poem concerned with the self-education of the reader, i.e. a you done it. Hence, its meaning is to be located in the reader's experience of it. The form of the work, then, is the form of the reader's experience of it. The outer or physical form is therefore incidental. The center of the poem is the reader's consciousness. A. The reader is first brought face-to-face with the corruption in him and the inadequacy of his perceptions. B. He is invited to cooperate with the poem's efforts to effect his regeneration, to purge his intellectual ray until it is once more fit and proportional to truth.
Yeah, when I saw him speak, it says here, he's often associated with postmodernism, at times to his irritation, as he describes himself as an anti-foundationalist. And he's done all kinds of stuff at many universities, author of 12 books. This is a guy, when I hear these kind of guys, they don't know. If they knew McLuhan or took it seriously, they'd figure out some of the stupid quandaries they get themselves into, if they would have believed what McLuhan said. And it says here, he started his career as a medievalist. No wonder McLuhan looked at him. Despite this, his first book, published at Yale in 65, was on the Renaissance poet John Skelton. Fish reveals in his partly biographical essay, "Milton, thou shouldst be living at this hour." That's not what you're taught. That's not what you're talking about, right? Biographical essay? The biographical essay by Fish is called "Milton, thou shouldst be living at this hour."
No, it's the volume called "Surprised by Sin: The Reader in Paradise Lost."
Right, that he came to Milton, he reveals in his biographical essay that he came to Milton by accident. In 1963, the same year that Fish started as an assistant professor at the University of California, Berkeley, the resident Miltonist, C.A. Petridis, received a grant. The chair of the department asked Fish to teach the Milton course, notwithstanding the fact that the young professor had never taken a Milton course, either as an undergraduate or in graduate school. The eventual result of that course was "Surprised by Sin: The Reader in Paradise Lost." So it's like Fish was surprised by what he learned from Milton.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And so he's documenting this. So this is the last little bit. It's the work is patterned. There's a pattern into which all successful readers fall, though there are many variations as there are readers. One, during the poem, the reader is forced to sharpen his perceptions. So you've got this work, Milton's Training Perception. Two, at regular intervals, the reader is asked to assess his progress and see if he can recognize the true form of one of the abstractions. And finally, there's a testing of readers. And then there's a section or division at the outer level of the book, and that'll move on to a next stage. And supposedly, the reader is intuitively led to an intimate understanding of Christ. And that's, I guess, the whole pattern that Stanley's laying out here.
Right. It says, Fish's 2001 book, How Milton Works, reflects 5 decades worth of a scholarship on Milton. I mean, the guy really got obsessed with Milton.
Yeah.
And he was... he's best known for his analysis of interpretive communities, an offshoot of reader response criticism. McLuhan wrote it last year or so on reader response criticism. He reviewed the language, the critical schools of the 70s. It was rather brief and just sketchy, but he did go through them all. So reader response, that's Fish. Okay, so, he's a guy that... See, McLuhan would go to the library at St. Mike's or get George to get books out, and he would be... all these literary criticism books would be pouring out, and McLuhan would be scanning them.
Yeah, I guess... I mean, it's a great library, and why not? I mean, back in the day when you could actually read books instead of...
email.
People actually wrote books as well, decent ones that could be read.
Yeah, I remember Marcia going home in the evening with, 8 books under his arm that George had picked up. And he just scanned through them looking for nuggets, for little things that would fit into his theory. Or maybe also looking for something new, too. I always liked reading literary criticism. I liked that. And McLuhan was, too. He liked reading it. I'll read the criticism more than the book.
Yeah, well, I think, as you've said, it's another form of art, in a sense. Or at least that's what McLuhan developed.
Yeah, I've read a lot of Joyce criticism. It's just fun to read what people think and their interpretations.
Yeah, at one point, Bob, doing a bibliography of the books that you have assembled and grown out your knowledge of Joyce would be quite valuable.
You mean my library?
Yeah, in terms of your top 10 of books on Joyce.
Right. Yeah. I think I've forgotten some of them, but they're all in that warehouse. If I ever get the stuff shipped over here, I'd like to look at my Joyce scholarship or Joyce books. I got a lot of them. So I think that's it. I don't know if we should have got that on tape, but probably not.
We did.